What's up, guys and gals? It's your host, Joshua Evans, creator of Comics Inspire and Good on the Go. Writer, avant-garde poet, professional entertainer. Classically trained in the art of amusement and superhero Jedi-ness business. Just love and have fun. Welcome to this episode of the podcast, number 7. We are going strong, people. Today's movie plug of the week is an anime film, actually, which my friends introduced me to. And my gosh, it will put you in your feelings. I don't know if, like, you need to see it more than one time. Some people do. I saw it once, and I could probably just see it again, like, next year because it was a lot. It was a lot. But the movie is called Your Name, and it was written and directed by Makoto Shinkai. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story about this guy and this girl who periodically wake up in each other's bodies, like they've switched. And so, like, they lead, like, these parts of the lives, and, like, the girl in the boy's body is trying to hook him up with the girl that he has a crush on, and, like, vice versa. And so it's this story of how they share these bodies, and now they're on this journey to meet each other because they realize that no one knows them better than they know each other because of this unique experience they've had. And it's beautiful. Can't recommend it enough. The book plug of the week, the read of the week, is Ahsoka by E.K. Johnston. My sister brought this book back to my mind because she's been listening to the audio version, voiced by the actress of Ahsoka, Ashley Eckstein. Shout out to Ashley Eckstein, wonderful human being. And the book is just fantastic. If you like Star Wars in any capacity, make sure you read Ahsoka by E.K. Johnston. And the last thing I'll say is music of the week, album of the week, which is The Kids Are All Right by Chloe and Haley Bailey, the twins from the sitcom Grown-ish. And I was surprised, like, it was shockingly not awful. This is not a diss to them, but, like, I think they're like 19. Like, this is millennial music. Millennial music pretty much is mostly not very good. And so I started listening with a bit of trepidation, but my God, the first day I listened to the album back to back, like, 3 times, and then found my favorite songs and listened to those the rest of the night, then listened to it twice the next day. So make sure you check that out. The Kids Are All Right. Let's get into today's episode. All right, so let's get into this. Before we start the actual episode, today's art thought of the day is helping you get unstuck, ideally, because I know that when you sit down to write something or to create, or even if it's already written or you already have, like, your idea outlined, you kind of know what you want to do, and you get to this spot where things were flowing and then it kind of sticks and you're just like, ah, what do I do? And the question you can always ask yourself, this is the art thought of the day, the question you can always ask yourself is, what is the most honest thing I can write right now? What's the most honest thing? Because if you have a blockage of any sort, usually the case is you're trying to overperform it and you're not being honest. You're trying to write something that's going to be amazing and you're losing the honesty. You're trying to create something that's going to be catchy, a sensation, you know, just like essentially one-hit wonders. That is the spirit of the one-hit wonder, something that is catchy and appealing and totally void of honesty. That's what a one-hit wonder is. Like, you mean, oh, okay, I like this. Imagine, think about, like, songs that are just, like, fun to hear and you can play it anytime and whatever, and it's always a good time whenever you play it. But if the whole album had songs like that song, you'd be like, I don't want to listen to the album. The album's not fun. And the music that resonates, the music that sticks, the words that stir and inspire, the movies that touch us, the stop film animation that is exciting and riveting, all comes from a place of honesty, because it's all story. And story, though it has many arms and many places from which it draws its influence and how it touches people and reaches people, story pivots and relies entirely upon honesty, because it's from the honest space that we flip it into a metaphor or into poetry or into a song or into some sort of visual or interpretive dance. But it starts with being honest, and then we kind of translate it into whatever genre or medium we feel will be best to communicate the honesty. But the touchstone, the keystone, the key point, the anchoring momentum of anything you create is honesty. So if you find yourself stuck or you're trying to figure out like, okay, I have this idea, how do I push forward? Sit down and ask yourself, what's the most honest thing I can write right now? And write that thing. And write for as long as it will take you. And then when you get to a blockage spot, now ask yourself again, okay, now what's the most honest thing I can write? And you will find that it takes you a lot further and a lot deeper than you thought you could go, as well as bringing along all of the creative elements, right? Because we don't want to create something and then it's like super honest but bland and boring and like unfun. But making stuff exciting and all that, that's talent and skill that can be cultivated. When you ask yourself, what's the most honest thing I can write? You open up the power and the energy inside of yourself to take the skills you have for creativity and making something exciting and to add it almost as putting wings onto your honesty. So now your honesty can be in the sky and fly in the light of the sun where it belongs. So that's the art thought of the day. Now, on to the episode itself. Which should be very interesting because this was not the episode I had planned or had notes out for originally. I had a whole different podcast I was going to do called Unworthy, where I just talk about like worthiness and all that. But I was listening to a podcast. It's called Let's Play the Create Podcast by Kristen Hange and Natalie Roy. And they had a guest on there whose name is Christy Marsden. Now, in the process of what Christy was talking about, she said four words that riveted me. She said, the impact of change. Obviously, that was couched inside of everything else that she was discussing and talking about, but we're not going to go into that. But she said the impact of change. She didn't even slow down to unpack it or unravel like its implications. She just kept going. It was like a throwaway for her, but I was enraptured at this idea of the impact of change, because that's how change works, isn't it? Anytime something happens, whether it's good or bad, when change happens to us, it feels like an impact, just like getting hit by a car. Whether it's a job opportunity or you get a raise or you get offered money to do this thing that you love, it's like, oh my gosh, I have this crazy opportunity. Like someone's like, really, you're gonna pay me to do this thing that I love to do? Oh my goodness. Or if you do something positive for someone and they have like an overwhelming reaction and you can just feel like the love and the joy radiating off of them, and it's like, whoa, I didn't know it was possible to feel this good. Whoa, I didn't know it was possible to change the world like this, to change someone's life like this. And then, of course, there's obviously the negative stuff where you find out that your best friend has been telling lies about you behind your back. You find out that your spouse has been unfaithful. You find out that, you know, someone in your family has a sickness. But no matter what the change, no matter what form, excuse me, the change takes, it feels like an impact every single time. There is no instance of change where it's like, oh, okay, this was a gradual, like, change is not like getting a massage. Anytime we experience change, it's like, boom, it's an impact. But why is that? Why is that? Process, excuse me, if I'm coughing in this, I'm recently getting over like being pseudo sick, so pardon that. But process happens over time, but change happens in a moment. So why is it that we feel like change is an impact? And not even why do we feel like that? Why is it a surprise? Right? It's like we expect change to be the process, but it's the process which takes the time leading into the moment in which change happens. Tony Robbins says this all the time. He says that all it takes is a single moment to make a decision that changes your life. He says it's the process that occupies your time that gets you up to that moment where you make that decision, where if the relationship was bad for so long and then one day you say, nope, I don't want to do it anymore. Boom, change decision. It happened in a moment. If you've been eating poorly and the doctor says, hey, if you don't start eating right, like you're going to die soon, then it's like, oh, you had all this process, then boom, moment, decision, change. And so change is always an impact. Change is always a moment it's process that takes time. So then why do we expect change? Knowing this to be the case, why do we expect change, whether positive or negative, to be gracious with us? Because that's what it is, isn't it? Whenever change hits us, whether it's positive or negative, we expect it to be gracious. We expect it to come with this flow as if it's process and not change itself. Why is that? C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Weight of Glory, which is a collection of essentially different letters covering different topics. One of them was transposition. So we're not going to go all the way into what transposition is just because the layers and the implications of it are phenomenally deep and amazing. But transposition is the idea that in order for richer sensations or realities to be expressed in lesser mediums, the elements of the lesser medium have to play multiple roles in order to accommodate it. Now, what does that mean? Imagine if there's a language, which, you know, most of us being English speakers, when in English we have 26 letters. Now, imagine there's a language that has 57 letters, right? In order for that language with more letters to be translated into our language with less letters, we would have to give some of our letters multiple uses in order to accommodate for the fact that we're receiving this greater experience, this higher reality of articulation. Or another one would be comic book stories. So, like, let's say you're reading a comic book story and you see a panel and it's extremely touching. In your heart, in your soul, in the wholeness of your person, you may feel warm butterflies, like, oh, I'm really happy that this happened, or I'm really touched that this happened. And it can be the same feeling you've had when someone gives you a hug, right? Or when someone, if a friend calls you at the right time and gives you, you know, encouraging advice or positive affirmation about yourself, you feel good. You feel that sense of connection. If you experience that in the comic book story, it's not an actual person giving you that affirmation. You're not connecting with an actual person per se. What's happening is there is this higher experience, this richer experience in the comic book story, in any story, this is what movies and everything are about, that transposes itself and makes use of other emotions. We now have to give our emotions multiple uses. So this is not, this feeling of wholeness and relationship and kinship that I feel for my friend is now being repurposed for this comic book story, or even music. You hear music, and this is why we listen to music, because of the power of transposition. How many single people listen to R&B music, listen to love songs? So there is a piece of you that wants to experience the reality of romance and being in love. And, you know, if you're single, maybe you're not quite getting that experience, but you put on this song and suddenly all of those feelings, all of those emotions are activated within you, even though you're not actually in a relationship where that's organically happening, where you're not in a relationship where that's happening, period, because you're single. What's happening? This is the heart. This is the heartbeat of transposition. It is this higher reality, this ideal love state that the song is inducing, and it is making use of your emotions. So the ones that are not just for relationship, the ones that you would use for your relationship aren't just for relationship. You are now repurposing them for this song, and it happens instinctively and organically. This is what transposition is. It's when the higher reality uses other elements of a lesser medium to express itself in order to accommodate it. We have to give our internal things from the lesser medium multiple purposes. Now, I know that's a little thick, but just hang with me. So, life is full of process and change. We know this. We see this from little children to what happens in nature and trees and even the progress of technology. Life is process and change. And so when we experience change as an impact, as something that jars us, remember, change is merely something that happens in a moment, but the sensation of it is jarring and impactful. That itself is a form of transposition. Maya Angelou, incredible poet, writer. She spoke multiple languages. Just a Renaissance woman of the highest degree, filled with so much wisdom. Her parents divorced when she was a child. She did not have a close relationship with her mother growing up. Matter of fact, she called her grandmother mom, and she didn't call her mom. She called her mom lady, and her mom asked her why. And Maya Angelou said, "I call you lady because you don't look like a mom, but you're very beautiful and you act like a lady. So I call you lady." And that was their relationship. And she did not actually feel close enough to her mom to call her mom until she was in her adult years. Impact. When she was a teenager, she had her child, her son, when she was 17 years old. Impact. She was a part of civil rights. Like, everything about Maya Angelou's life was impact. The impact of change. But it did not throw her off. Why is that?
If a human being dreams a great dream, dares to love somebody, if a human being dares to be Martin King or Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Malcolm X, if a human being dares to be bigger than the condition into which she or he was born, it means so can you. And so you can try to stretch yourself. So you can internalize, "A homo sum humani nihila me alienum puto." I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. That's one thing I'm learning.
Nothing about being human can be alien to me if I am human. So what this now reveals itself to be, the reason why change feels like an impact. And this is not to say we can't be surprised. This is not to say that we are not allowed to have strong emotional reactions, but we're talking about that impact that can just throw you off and make you doctors. The way to step back from that is to see the transposition, because the transposition is really not about change. The transposition is about humanity, and humanity at the highest levels is spiritual. This is the flaw. This is what I consider to be the central flaw of all modern day philosophy and beliefs about approaching life. We are trying to have being human be the pinnacle of humanity. Like, it's a ladder that leads nowhere. It's a ladder that stops at the top rung and has no actual destination. A ladder is supposed to take you somewhere. Humanity is just a ladder, and it tops off in the realm of the spiritual. But if you deny the spiritual aspect of humanity, then when something changes, you miss the effect of the transposition, because now your limited humanity is caving in on itself. You crawled up the ladder and now you're crawling down the other side because you missed the power of the transposition. The highest aspects, the highest aspects of humanity are spiritual. And when things take place in the spiritual plane, it transposes into the human world, and one of those transpositions is sometimes change that happens in a moment. It's sometimes extreme change, whether it's good or bad. It's a transposition, and then we experience it, and now we have this opportunity before us on how we're going to handle it, which leads us to Easter. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be associated with any religion at all to understand this concept. What Easter is, there was a man named Jesus, the Son of God, historically proven, biblically prophesied about, and actualized in both the Bible and real life. He came, born of a virgin. He changed the world, really, even in his microcosm. He didn't leave his region, really. But he changed the world, and then he was crucified because of his perfection, and because he didn't sin. He did nothing wrong. He was crucified, and then 3 days later, he was resurrected. He came back to life. Just put a pin in here. Isn't it crazy that somebody actually came back to life and it's historical record and cats still don't believe it? Like, that's nuts. But anyways, that's not what we're here for. So Jesus, he's resurrected. He comes back to life. And this is why we celebrate Easter, which another name is Resurrection Sunday, or Resurrection Day, whatever you want to call it. So this is what Easter is about. It's this man Jesus was dead, this perfect man, and then he was raised back to life. We're talking about impact of change. We're talking about transposition. We're talking about the highest elements of humanity being spiritual. So Jesus being obviously the Son of God, being the spiritual person that he was, the spiritual person that he is, he brought a new form of transposition, because he was basically telling people that the transposition existed, that outside of this human experience was this divine experience. Outside of these human concepts of kingdoms and whatnot was this spiritual kingdom. But the spiritual kingdom isn't up and far away and, you know, two stars to the left off in Neverland. The spiritual kingdom was on the inside of everybody. And if you would just tap into the kingdom, if you would exhibit the principles of the kingdom, then your humanity would be able to access the spirituality. So when things happen, you hear the adage, everything happens for a reason, which is a terrible thing to say to someone who has just undergone a tragedy. But there is a transpositional truth to it, because when you are able to look at things and say, this is not personal to me, I may be hurt about it or I may be elated, but this is not personal to me. There is something else happening. And this is not saying that, you know, God killed your best friend to test you, or that God gave that terrible person a job increase because of what. This is not saying any of that. This is simply saying that the experiences of humanity are not solely defined by humanity. There is something else. There's an invisible world with invisible energies taking place all around us, and the essence of that is inside of us. And so Jesus resurrecting, taking it back to Easter, Jesus resurrecting is, aside from the fact that it actually happened, It represents a concept. It represents the idea that there is an aspect of your humanity that needs to be awakened. There's an aspect of your humanity that needs to be awakened. It's the divine aspect of your humanity. So now, taking it very simply, if somebody is asleep and it's time for them to wake up, what do you do? You tap them. You may speak, but if they're in a heavy sleep, you tap them. Hey, it's time to get up. And you keep tapping and you keep tapping and you keep tapping until the one tap that wakes them up. You know, if anyone's ever taps you awake, you know, the tap that you actually feel, the tap that actually wakes you up, feels like you got slapped, you got punched, and you pop up like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Why are you hitting me? Da, da, da. And you're like, first of all, dude, chill, calm down, bro. I wasn't hitting you. I tapped you just a few times and now you woke up. But it's that tap. It's the impact of change. But the impact of change is just the sensation relative to the fact that we were asleep prior. The reason why change feels impactful is because the divine elements of our humanity are dormant. Any area in your life where change feels impactful, not just like, again, we're, like I said before, I'm not just talking about having a strong emotional reaction, but you know, when something happens and it knocks the wind out of you. And this is not even saying that, you know, having the wind knocked out of you is bad all the time, but when something knocks the wind out of you, when it messes up your ability to move forward, to think, to process, to be you, like when it gets inside of you, when you have that car crash moment of change where it's like, boom, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what's going on because these things just happened and it's crazy. It's because there is an element of your humanity. There is a piece of divinity inside your humanity, a piece of the God conscious, the Christ mindset inside of you that needs to be awakened. This is why there are so many people who say, I don't affiliate with any religions, but I'm a spiritual person. This is why yoga is taking off. Everybody is on this search to awaken that spiritual consciousness, that God consciousness inside of them, because everyone knows when that change impacts you, there's a lack. You need something. Everyone is very sensitive to when you crawl up the ladder and then you're crawling down the ladder on the other side. It's like, no, I'm not supposed to be crawling down. This ladder is supposed to go somewhere. And the place that ladder is supposed to go is into the world of the spiritual, because the greatest elements of humanity are divine. And this is where the whole thing comes together, because change is something that manifests externally, but the reason it jars, like I said, is because we have this internal element to us that's still dormant, that's still asleep, that's still a little sluggish, not quite where it needs to be. But that's because change itself has nothing to do with the outside world and everything to do with the inside world. The change happens to yourself, not your environment. And when we realize that, we realize and we are able to understand that we have shed another layer of who we are not, having taken another step closer into the light of the glory of who we are. I know this one was a little meaty. We went some places with this one. But really sit on it. Think about the transposition. Think about your humanity. Think about the divinity. Think about your Easter moment. Think about how it all ties together, and honor the transpositional elements. Allow these higher things to repurpose your inner things. And as it's repurposing, don't just look at what's being repurposed. Look at what is being repurposed from. Just like you listen to that song and it makes you feel the warm feelings, you don't forget the song. You say, oh no, the song is causing the feelings. And then you look beyond the song and you see that there's a very pure desire to be in a love relationship with someone. And it just transposed itself all the way into these feelings that are this reaction to this song. So I know this was a bit meaty, but I thank you guys for riding with me on this one, The Impact of Change. Happy trails, friends. Ask better questions. Do interesting things. Live your best story possible. I'll see you next time. Thank you guys for tuning in. And once again, this is your host, Joshua Evans. Make sure you click subscribe so that you don't miss any of our future episodes. And if you want to know where I'm going to be, what I'm thinking, what I'm talking about, where I'm going to be performing next, or you just want to have a good old-fashioned conversation about interesting things, go ahead and hit me up on Twitter. That's at Josh Evans Go. That's where all the magic happens. And I will see you guys next time. Happy listening.